Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Good afternoon. Good Monday afternoon to you. It's 108 here on the Big 870, WWLAMFM.com, and always live on the free Odyssey app. I'm your guest host for today, Ian Hoke. Scoot has taken some time off. We expect him back later this week. But until then, I'm going to be holding it down here with you. Got a great show today. And I don't just say that because that's fun to say. I think it really is a great show. We got a lot to talk about. It's jam-packed. We're going to take care of some serious stuff today, and then I got some other topics coming up for you later in the week that are going to be a little bit more fun, some things kind of out of left field, some things, some stories that you might not hear discussed anywhere else, so I'm looking forward to sharing that, all of that with you, of course, starting today. As you heard me say in the handoff with Newell Normand there, we're going to have guests every hour today. We're going to speak in the first hour here at 120, 125. We're going to talk to the New Orleans Director of Economic Development and also the Director of Parks and Parkways. Their names are Jeff Schwartz and Michael Karam, respectively. If you live downtown or if you work downtown, you probably know a little bit, if you haven't visited it, Crescent Park. Crescent Park is that long linear park that stretches from about, you know, the intersection of Esplanade and Elysian Fields and goes all the way down to the Bywater, almost all the way to Poland Avenue and the old Navy base over there. That project was a long time coming. That was originally floated, I think, at the tail end of the Nagin administration, but mostly it was Landrieu's project to put together. It eventually cost $32 million to put that park into use for the general public. And, you know, when it opened, it was really quite beautiful. they had some issues with a lot of the plants. I'm just remembering this. I've lived near that park for most of the time that I've been in New Orleans over the last 10 or 15 years or so. But I remember that first year they had a bunch of, you know, beautiful landscaping. They put in all these big, beautiful plants and trees and shrubs and flowers that then were all immediately killed by a very hard frost that we had that winter. And so, you know, part of the fanfare of the park was, hey, come on, check out Crescent Park. It looks like a graveyard out here. It was kind of crazy. 10 years later, Crescent Park's looking a little bit long in the tooth. My last several visits through there, I've noticed a lot of garbage, a lot of litter, all kinds of litter. I'm talking about everything from, you know, a plastic bag or a McDonald's bag or some beer cans, but also needles that junkies are tossing aside after they're done using them. They just leave them around for other people to find and step on, and that's obviously disturbing. Don't want to see that on your way to and from work. There is also the matter of the restrooms. There are restroom facilities at the Mandeville Street Wharf that have been closed to the general public for God knows how long. The elevators aren't working, so if you're in a wheelchair or a walker, you can really only enter the park at one end, which is crazy. If you have a linear park, and you know, and when I say linear park, I mean like a long, skinny park that really only has three entrances, and two of them are not available to use for people who use a walker or a wheelchair. So things are getting a little bit wonky in Crescent Park. And in keeping that in mind, there's about to be an enormous expansion of public space along the riverfront. Audubon is leading the way on this $55 million Riverfront for All project. So I'm going to ask these gentlemen today, who's in charge of what? And when are these projects expected to be completed? Are they expecting more delays? Are they expecting more cost overruns? They've already seen the price tag for this Riverfront for All project kind of swell. You know, as things often do, I don't think that's such a big deal. I don't think that's so unexpected. But, you know, I want to know who's going to pay for this, and are we sure that this is it? Are there going to be more cost overruns? I want to know what city leaders expect in terms of economic benefit from this project. And just to be clear right out of the gate, I'm very, very excited about this. I think when this is done, it's going to look spectacular. There's going to be all sorts of new amenities and things for people to enjoy, both locals and tourists, along the New Orleans riverfront. You've often heard Scoot and I bitch on this program quite a bit that New Orleans doesn't have that much waterfront amenities, you know, compared to other cities that have a river or lakefront or, you know, even a coastline along them. There's always cool stuff going on there. They got amusement parks. They got amphitheaters. They got boardwalks and things like that. New Orleans has been kind of slowly creeping along in the direction of having those things for a number of years. But this Riverfront for All project really is going to be the cherry on top. So I'm excited to talk to Jeff and Michael about that in a few minutes. It has been 100 years since a high school teacher named John Scopes went on trial, criminal trial in Tennessee. What was his crime? Teaching evolution in what became known as the Scopes Monkey Trial. Have we moved on from the issues at the heart of that discussion, or are we still stuck in the same debate? Because in many ways, it feels like we're still stuck in the same debate, much as I'm regretful to say that. So what does this nearly forgotten case tell us about America's cultural fault lines, both then in 1925 and now in 2025? We're going to talk to Dr. John Fitzmaurice from the UNO Department of History. That's coming up at 2:25. And finally, rounding out the show today, about 3:25, 2 minutes and 53 seconds are missing from what the Department of Justice and the FBI told us was full, raw surveillance video. When somebody uses words like full and raw to describe video, to me, that means untouched, unfettered, unbothered. Nobody has judged this video in any way. It's exactly as it was when it was recorded. Turns out that's not the case with the footage that we have seen from Jeffrey Epstein's prison cell the night that he died. Again, the DOJ and the FBI told us that this was full raw surveillance video from the only functioning camera near Epstein's prison cell. Analysts at Wired Magazine discovered there's actually 2 minutes and 53 seconds missing from that tape. How does that happen? How did analysts discover that discrepancy? And most crucially, did the Department of Justice and the FBI know that they were handing us edited footage that they were describing as unedited? We're going to talk to a cybersecurity expert, David Schloss is going to be joining us from, what's the name of that company? It's something pretty interesting. Criminals Emulated? Yeah. David is the CEO of Emulated Criminals. It's a white hat hacking firm that specializes in this sort of thing. He'll talk to us about what the footage shows and does not show. Does anybody out there believe that Jeffrey Epstein killed himself? It's been a number of years now, and it seems, you know, it's a very popular sort of thing to put in a meme, you know, on Twitter or social media. Epstein didn't kill himself. Well, now the Trump administration really, really wants us to believe that Epstein did kill himself. And as part of the effort to get us to buy into that, they handed over this raw, unedited, full footage that then turned out to be anything but. Do you still think Epstein killed himself, or is there something that is still being kept from us? And if there is, what? We can speculate, but we'll hear from David specifically about how these analysts discovered that missing footage, and in his line of work as an expert in the field, what that says to him about what information they might be trying to protect. We'll step away a little bit early here because I want to make sure I have plenty of time to talk to Jeff and Michael, but I would be remiss if I didn't start out the week saying hello to my good friend and yours, Coleman, who's inside the jar today. Coleman, good afternoon.
How are we doing, Ian?
I'm good. Have you recovered from seeing Superman and not liking it?
Yes, I'm over it now because the Fantastic Four First Steps was a good palate cleanser.
Yeah, so
that made up for it.
Okay, good. So, and that's already out, the new Fantastic Four film.
Mm-hmm, yep,
and I'm seeing good things about that. I didn't know anything about it until I saw a commercial for it. I think it was just last night that said, you know, this is literally, they said it's the greatest superhero ever made. This is what it's going to remind people why they fell in love with superheroes in the first place.
I wouldn't say it's that much, but it is really, really good.
Okay, great. That's good to know. You know what I watched over the weekend?
What did you watch?
I watched Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Any particular reason why?
I can't remember why it came up, but my girlfriend and I have just kind of kept a long list of movies, you know, from the 80s and early 90s that we've been wanting to go back and watch and, you know, enjoy the film, but also kind of evaluate, like, how well does this really still hold up? Are these jokes still funny? Let me tell you, Pee-wee's Big Adventure is gold. That's a great movie. And they don't make movies like that anymore, really. I mean, it's such an original idea. The whole Pee-wee character was such an original creation.
Didn't someone just acquire the bicycle, the red bicycle, and they put it...
You know what? That's exactly why. That's exactly why that ended up on the list of movies to watch, because there was a story that I think we played last Wednesday that one of the bicycles, because they use like many different bicycles in the course of shooting that movie, one of those spectacular little red bicycles is now on permanent display at the Alamo, where it was alleged to have been stolen and removed to in the plot of the 1985 film Pee-wee's Big Adventure. I'll tell you a little bit more about that later, but needless to say, I was not sorry I spent that 90 minutes watching that movie. When we come back, we will be joined by Jeff Schwartz and Michael Karam. They are the Director of Economic Development and the Director of Parks and Parkways, specifically. Who is running Crescent Park right now? For a long time, it was the French Market Corporation, but the city has since taken over. Does that explain why it's suddenly full of garbage and used needles? And there's no way to get in it unless you're, you know, a bipedal person who can walk on 2 feet. Let's get some answers from these fellas, and we'll hear from you on the Oakland Art Jewelers Talk and Text line. It's 504-260-1870. You can call me anytime. You can text me anytime. I'll read 100% of the text messages you send in today. I'll reply to as many as I can, and the very best ones I'll read on the air, so make them count. I'm Ian Hoke, sit in for Scoot. Be right back.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app, and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer, how laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With AllTrails, you can discover and experience the best of nature. With over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with AllTrails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by Street Easy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
After this. When Crescent Park first opened, it was a cause for a serious celebration. There was finally a new, modern-looking, leafy stretch of green space where people could walk their dogs, they could jog, they could roller skate in there. It offered a really spectacular view of the city skyline that the general public had not been able to see for decades. Now, it wasn't perfect. There were some frustrations over access. There were long periods of time where some of the wharves were closed for repairs that kept getting crashed into by boats. The park seemed to keep odd hours at times. But despite that, it quickly became a really beloved public space in a city that has, I think, not enough of them. If you've never seen a 4th of July show or a New York City fireworks show from Crescent Park, you are missing out. Put that on your New Orleans bucket list. 11 years after it's open, Crescent Park is showing its age a little bit. The only elevator that makes it fully accessible has been out of service for some number of years. There are permanent indoor restrooms, but they've been closed for as long as I can remember. Litter is piling up. Maintenance has slipped. It feels at times like this park is sliding into neglect, and that may not be remarkable except for the fact that it's about to grow. Massively so. This new Riverfront for All project is going to stitch together 2.3 miles of continuous park space along the river. It's going to connect the Riverfront Mall, Spanish Plaza, Waldenburg Park, the Moonwalk, and Crescent Park into one sort of seamless riverfront park. It's expensive, it's ambitious, but when it's done, whether you're living in New Orleans or you just love visiting it, it is going to change our lives. I don't think that's an overstatement. It's going to become a truly regional attraction. It's going to be a real shot in the arm for New Orleans urban core, and for that matter, the French Quarter, you know, the crown jewel of Louisiana. So everybody has a stake in this. But if Crescent Park is any guide, there are questions about how we're going to build and manage and maintain this expanded riverfront, and those questions need answers. Joining us today to talk about what's next are Jeff Swartz, the city's Director of Economic Development, and Michael Karam, the Director of Parks and Parkways. Gentlemen, welcome to the show. Thanks for making time.
Thanks, Ian. Glad to be here.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Ian. Thanks for having us.
Michael, let's start with you. Just who is managing Crescent Park right now, and how has that changed over the last year or so?
Well, the city of New Orleans is managing it, and through economic development leadership, Parks and Parkways leadership, and a number of other city officials, we've sort of pooling our resources as of late May to continue the services that are offered at Crescent Park, and to maintain hours, maintain litter pickup, turf management, landscaping, and it's really a joint effort between Jeff and his team, my work through a number of contractors, to where the city is continuing to offer the park to the public. We've actually expanded hours and are making a number of smaller landscaping improvements. The hours are, there was a little bit of a hiccup at the beginning of the transition from French Market to the city of New Orleans, but we feel that we're in a good place.
I figured that was probably the case, that some of these issues may have been a result of just this kind of handoff period, which, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if there was any sort of similar situation where one organization is managing a space and then hand it off to somebody else. You know, there might be some responsibilities that don't get quite handed off perfectly. So, okay, good. Who's doing security and groundskeeping? You have a contractor for that, yeah?
Yes. So we're working with other administrators and real-time crime center to provide security. And like you said, it's a handoff to different contractors and different security professionals. So we actually have a team out there now that is clearing some of the overgrowth adjacent to the Piety Wharf that hasn't been visible for a number of years due to overgrowth. So we're excited to see those improvements, the park hours for everyone out there. We've got signage going up, but it's 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. During the summer, June, July, and August, and 6 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. the rest of the year. So those are hours that are really driven by the community, especially in the early morning and the late evening, given the cooler temperatures. So, that's that.
Great. I was always kind of like, the sun is just going down. It's just getting pleasant to be outside, but I'm not allowed to be in the park. So that's good. It'll be open until 8 p.m. when people need it open the most. We got to talk about the two elevators that lead to the Mandeville Street Wharf. Those have been out of service for a pretty long time. I'm going to say at least in a year and a half, maybe longer. It's certainly, what I've been able to keep track of. Tell us what happened there and why those elevators haven't been put back into service.
So I'm virtually looking over to Jeff. He's in charge, or he's got more information on that in terms of some of the challenges that French Market faced and sure, where we are with the repairs to those elevators.
Great. Jeff?
Yeah, happy to jump in. It is actually only, it's one elevator that exists at the Mandeville Wharf, and you're right that it's had, there have been challenges keeping the elevator operational, a lot of it due to vandalism and the fact that the electrical and other utilities that supply it are frequently vandalized. Mm-hmm. It has been out intermittently over the last few months, and we're currently making repairs, and so it should be reopened within the next 30 days or so.
Oh, I love that. That's great. Okay, and just for people who haven't seen it or walked across it, I guess you could refer to it as one elevator system, but it is two elevator cars. There's one that, leads up to this bridge that goes over the train tracks, then one would walk or ride over the train tracks, then enter a second elevator to get down to the ground level, correct?
I say correct. That's correct.
Okay, great. So let's talk a bit about how some of these safety concerns are being addressed. People who have reported feeling unsafe or feeling followed while in the park. There's people in there clearly under the influence of some pretty serious drugs. Whoever's the contractor that's doing security, how are they going after this sort of thing without, making it unpleasant for, just regular people that spend time in the park?
It's a great question. I'll jump on that one first, Mike. I think what we see in Crescent Park, I think, is emblematic of what we see in other locations downtown, especially along the riverfront, where the batcher, the banks of the river allow for folks to be able to encamp without being very visible at various times of the year. When it's high water, that obviously is not possible. But as the water goes down after the high water marks in the springtime, we see folks setting up there. And for a number of years, the park was operated in a way where the embankment was policed, but folks were not swept out of there with as much regularity as we know the general public would like to see. And so we've begun a concerted effort to work with the Public Belt, who operates the railroad along the riverfront, as well as with the port, harbor police, and the Coast Guard, in order to coordinate some cleanup and homeless services activities. And so we think folks will see diminishing levels of homelessness in the park. I will say that a lot of the comments that we get from the public in recent weeks are for security even being a little overzealous.
Right.
And having folks get towards the exits a little early. And so Mike and I and others on our team have worked to address those concerns. But we know that there's there are at least two security guards at all times in Crescent Park. And we want folks to feel safe. We want to respect people's, civil liberties. And folks are in the park and not creating an unsafe environment for themselves and for others. That's one thing, you know, but if anyone's feeling threatened, that's obviously not acceptable. And we ensure that security is present to be able to address those situations.
So the thing about, you know, public parks is that they are, you know, they're public. They're supposed to be available for anybody to use. And that includes unhoused people, which is not to say that you want them setting up tents in there or cooking food in there, or doing the other things. But, you know, just in terms of their being able to peacefully enjoy the park, as would any other person who rents an apartment or owns a home, that's still permitted, right? Like, for example, can you sleep in there? Is it permitted to sleep? I know you're not allowed to lay down in Woldenburg Park. Is that the case at Crescent Park?
Correct.
You're allowed to lay down in the...
I'm sorry, overnight. Go for it, Mike.
Yeah, no, the park has hours of operation. So at night, our security has... the security that was there under French Market for about a decade, mm-hmm. You know, enforced the same rules. I mean, the circumstances of some of the issues that you addressed, trash and needles, it's kind of a surprise to me. Our teams have done a really great job, as did French Market previously, of ensuring that the park itself is well maintained and picked up. But it's flanked on one side by the public belt and on the other side by the river. And so, mm-hmm. as Jeff mentioned, within a matter of really the first month of taking it over, we were in touch and continue to be in touch with the public belt and the port, just really the same entity, to address trash on the railway. Actually, they did a very thorough sweep a few weeks ago on the rail lines. And so now we're working on the riverside to both address overgrown vegetation and to work with them to remove some of that trash. So trash cans are on a regular schedule. The park looks pretty good these days, but it is a challenging space given that it is along the riverfront. And as Jeff mentioned, there's some unique challenges that really Woldenburg, the Moonwalk, and Crescent Park face.
I'm glad you mentioned that, and I think we can go ahead and kind of transition now into talking about the bigger vision here at the Riverfront for All. I think part of what spurred me to have this conversation with you guys is some of these concerns that we have about Crescent Park. You know, for lay people, you know, like myself, I'm in a position of privilege where I can ask questions directly of you. But it seems like some of the issues that we've had at Crescent Park, there's no reason to think that those won't continue into the Riverfront for All project. I mean, once everything is all opened up, the park is still going to be flanked by the river and by the public belt and other, you know, properties that are not under city management. And so there might be some of these quality of life issues that may stick around, you know, even after this $55 million project is complete.
It's a great... Go for it, Mike.
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, some of the issues with, you know, encampments under the wharves, you know, they've increased over the last couple of months, last couple of years, and really the construction at the Governor Nichols Wharf has curtailed some of the access issues to those areas under the wharves. And it you know, it really is good. A joint effort between Audubon, the city, homeless services, and the port, just to address how folks end up along the waterfront and really, if they are there, just to ensure that their needs of homelessness are addressed, but they're not able to access those areas to begin with.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. Yeah. Jeff, answer this for me. So the Riverfront for All project completes a vision that's been, you know, sort of in our heads for a long time, a decade or more. How do you see Crescent Park and the new park fulfilling the recommendations of the Riverfront Vision Plan, the 2007 Master Plan, reinventing mm-hmm. the Crescent, those plans that we had laid out all that time ago? Is the project that's now under construction, you know, are those two things properly lined up, or did a lot of things change? What's new? What's different?
Well, it's a fantastic question, Ian, and I'm glad you asked it, because I think you've really hit on the underlying challenge and opportunity here, which is that reinventing the Crescent and a lot of the planning work that happened post Katrina. I think we all remember the energy and vision that a lot of us poured into that work. One of the pieces that has continued to be sort of an unfunded mandate is about governance. We've had a very compelling vision for what the riverfront should be, which I think we all we all agree is what we deserve in the city, which is a world-class riverfront befitting, you know, the Mississippi River and our amazing city. I think where we've fallen a little short over the prior decades has been identifying those sustainable sources of funding and the governance structure to manage the park in a way that we all want to see. And so I don't think Mike or I would ever advocate to piecemeal that work. I think what we would love to see is in the coming months and years to see more holistic and unified governance that has the resources necessary to link up all the different elements of the riverfront, really from Spanish Plaza all the way down to mm-hmm. Poland Avenue, and be able to not just build, but also maintain and operate that riverfront space as a space where we all want to be. And so I think that conversation is happening. I can say, you know, in the administration and the city council side at Audubon and some other key partners, there's conversations about adequately, you know, funding riverfront and riverfront development and management is happening currently mm-hmm. so that we don't continue to see some of these, you know, thorny issues. And one of the things that I'll finish this thought on is this Riverfront for All park that we've all worked really hard on the city side and with Audubon to execute, that was contemplated many years ago, 7 or 8 years ago now, and we're finally at the point where we're executing on that. That is going to create, as you noted, Ian, a connection for the first time between the Moonwalk and the entrance to Crescent Park, so that we don't actually need elevators to have accessible, ADA right. accessible, and you know, entry points into the park, and that means that it's going to be even easier for walkers and bikers and pedestrians and, you know, folks you know, who are not necessarily walking into the park to be able to utilize that space in a way that they never have before. And so now really is the opportunity to think about this big picture governance. And Mike and I have looked at some national best practices. There are some great ones, even upriver. The Memphis River Parks partnership is a great example of kind of a sister city that's thought more holistically about how to manage its riverfront. So we got our work cut out for us, but I think we're going to get there.
Yeah, well, you know, like I said in the earlier, it's expensive, it's ambitious, but I have no reason to think that it's not going to be spectacular when it's done, and we'll all be so That's much right. better for it. I do want to keep you guys around just a few minutes longer and ask you some more about money stuff, but before we take a break, maybe I can get a fast answer on this. So the whole stretch, that whole 2.3 miles, is already quite contiguous, except for about a 100-yard stretch where the Esplanade Wharf is, like, you know, where the broken elevators are right now, there's a gate. And if that gate were to be opened, then it would already be possible for somebody to walk all the way, you know, from the Raisin Cane's at the far end of the Riverfront Mall all the way down to Bacchanal, which would be huge. I mean, people would, you know, use that for, you know, walking their kids and walking their dogs and all that, but also commuters would use that. But
that's right.
there's that one section, that one gate. And I want to know, when is that gate going to go away?
Great question. The short answer is first quarter of 2026 is when construction on the Governor Nick Esplanade Wharves should be wrapped up.
Great.
And then there will be that unified, contiguous, world-class riverfront that we're all hoping for.
That is good news. I'm pleased to hear it. We'll step away and we'll come back again with Michael Karam and Jeff Schwartz. We're talking about Crescent Park and the Riverfront for All project. I'm really excited about this. I am feeling a little more confident that it's not going to be plagued by some of the same issues that have hit Crescent Park. Time will tell. We'll be right back after this. If you want to react to anything you've heard so far, shoot me a text on the Oakland Art Jewelers Talkin' Text Line, 504-260-1870. Ian Hoke, BRB.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
On the Oakland Art Jewelers Talking Text Line, I'm getting some questions about the park. I'm going to try and get to those as quickly as possible. But first, I want to ask my guests, Michael Karam, Jeff Schwartz, about how some of this money is coming together. This project, the Riverfront for All funding, is coming from multiple sources to include the city, the convention center, the Audubon Institute, and private donations. I'm curious to know, and I guess, Jeff, this is for you, is that funding fully secured for both phases of this project, or is there still some, maybe a shortfall?
Good job digging into this one, too. I would answer this in two ways. One is the current project that's out there. If my fellow New Orleanians go out to the end of the moonwalk and look out at the Governor Nichols Wharf right there at the downriver end of the moonwalk, that project is about a $30 million first phase of the work, and that is fully funded.
Cool.
The city committed dollars in addition to some other public entities like the Convention Center and the Port and Audubon, as you noted. That funding does not extend all the way through to the Esplanade Wharf, which is the wharf between Governor Nichols and Mandeville. Mandeville is the upriver end of Crescent Park. And so the project that will open in very early next year will have a continuous connection, as you noted, Ian, between the moonwalk and Crescent Park. So that will absolutely be there. Mm-hmm. There will be a big, beautiful new park space at Governor Nick Esplanade Wharves that will have a number of amenities in it, as well as open space. Esplanade Wharf, though, will require some additional funding in order to fully renovate that project at the world-class standard and vision that we want. And then the second question that I think is implied in what you asked is about the larger governance. And I think that's something where, you know, we are in active negotiations with Audubon, as has been reported publicly. Audubon has been, you know, a wonderful steward of public spaces, both on the riverfront downtown, as well as obviously at Audubon Park and upriver. But it's expensive to manage park space. And so, you know, the city does not have money growing on trees, as I'm sure your listeners know very well. And so, you know, we are acting as stewards as the city to make sure that the park is well maintained and well operated in the meantime. And our hope is that we can, you know, come to a meeting of the minds about the resources that we'll need to have Audubon hopefully take over managing not just the Governor Nichols and Esplanade boards, but also Crescent Park going forward.
Mm-hmm. All right. So I'm hearing a lot of, you know, funding is being discussed and talks are underway. Lots of very friendly terms like that. But taxpayers will want to know if the city and Audubon or whoever cannot reach a deal, who specifically is going to be responsible for this expensive upkeep, whether that's, you know, infrastructure repairs or garbage or whatever. Does that fall back on the city budget, or is there?
It does.
Okay.
Fundamentally, and Mike, maybe you want to say a little bit more about that, but that's exactly where we are in terms of, you know, continuity of services in the city. Will make sure that, you know, everything that we do will maintain and operate this space at a high level. But yes, it's our hope that we'll be able to have a partner who can focus on that more exclusively,
cool,
you know, going forward. But yeah, Mike, please jump in.
Yeah, Jeff, well said in terms of where we are with Audubon. And, you know, it's important for the public to realize that what Ian was talking about in terms of that Riverfront for All, like, that realization is happening rather soon. It's just a matter of working out an agreement to where there is a, you know, a unified management for the entire riverfront in time. In terms of funding for the city to continue to maintain Crescent Park, to provide trash collection, you know, maintain the landscaping and turf and a lot of the services that it has been providing and that French Market previously did. You know, the costs are not as substantial in the long run, but I think the costs in terms of capital improvements and fully activating Crescent Park is where some of the larger costs long-term come in. So
sure.
In the interim, you know, the city of New Orleans is managing Crescent Park and it is doing so while negotiations with Audubon continue. And I do feel that, you know, both for park goers and for the taxpayers, we're able to provide incredible public space along the riverfront that can continue for as long as needed until a larger agreement is reached.
Great. A couple of the things I wanted to touch on. I'm remembering, I think it was the 4th of July. This was a couple summers ago. I made some plans with some friends to, hey, you know, let's get a couple of folding chairs, you know, a pack of Miller's Light, and go down there and watch the fireworks. And we were a bit surprised to get to the gate and see, you know, there's a Fest security personnel encampment there. And they're saying, hey, you can't bring that in here. There's no outside food or drinks. And I'm kind of thinking like, man, I thought this was a public park, but it's being managed kind of by this public private partnership or even a private entity. I think that went over poorly enough with the neighbors that project, that experiment was not repeated again. So when the Riverfront for All project is done, is it going to have kind of choke points like that? I mean, how are you going to say, you know, this is a festival event and you're not allowed to bring in outside food or drinks or anything? Is that going to operate any differently than something like, you know, French Quarter Fest, which happens at Woldenburg Park? I mean, you know, you kind of see what I'm getting at. Is it going to be truly public, or is it going to be a little more managed than that?
It's another really good question, because, you know, I think at bottom, Crescent Park is a public space, and it needs to remain that in order to be successful. And
good.
So, yeah, mm-hmm. I think that's full stop. I think the idea that there can be spaces in that park that could be operated at a high level and maybe offset some of those operating expenses that Mike was enumerating, that we actually would encourage anyone operating it, whether it's the city, Audubon, or otherwise, to look for opportunities for, you know, doing event rentals or, you know, having, you know, small festivals or concessions that can help offset expenses and, you know, create some amenities. I think at bottom, though, the idea that New Orleanians will not be able to go watch 4th of July fireworks, looking back at that, you know, beautiful bend in the river there, I know for me and for Mike as well, would be a non-starter. Our goal is to not privatize public space.
I'm very satisfied to hear that answer. Thank you so much. I'm going to give you a couple questions and comments from the listening audience here on the Gwinnard Jewelers Talking Text Line. Here's a text that says, parking has always been a problem for people trying to visit that area. Your thoughts?
Mike should jump in as well, but I'll just say that the new Riverfront for All Park that Audubon and the city are actively building right now, again, that's what will open at the former Governor Nichols Esplanade Wars in the early part of next year. There will be a significant amount of parking space incorporated there. Some folks wanted that to all be green space, but we heard those concerns loud and clear that we wanted to accommodate parking.
And do you have a, do you have kind of a ballpark number of parking spaces that you're thinking?
It's 50 to 75 spaces, if memory serves. I don't have the plans exactly in front of me, but it's not insignificant. And then the other piece that I was just going to mention is that because there will be, for the first time in the city's history, this you know, pedestrian connection of all these riverfront spaces, a lot of those parking lots that are just upriver, adjacent to the Moonwalk and Oliver Dunn Park, and even a little further upriver towards the Jack's Brewery, all of those will be spaces that will be very accessible to the riverfront for all park and Crescent Park once there's that new pedestrian connection. So I think there will be significantly more publicly accessible parking space in the very near future.
Great. And we're kind of drawing to a close here, guys. We're a little bit running out of time, so we got to kind of get some fleet answers here. I've got other questions about how about a place where you can get a cold beverage or a hot dog or a popsicle? I don't want to turn it into a food court, but I don't recall anything like that. Your thoughts. So you say there will be amenities in the riverfront for all, especially towards Esplanade. What's that to include?
There will be concessions, likely beverages, adult and otherwise, available in the new park space that opens early next year. Those are a part of the plans.
Superb. Any other closing thoughts you guys want to share before I let you go?
Ian, just want to say, I'll let Jeff finish, but I just want to say thanks for having us on, just so that we can get information to the public about the current status of Crescent Park. The conditions and the coming amenities and collaboration with Audubon. So we appreciate you having us.
Absolutely. Thank you.
I agree.
Jeff, you want to finish off?
Mike said it very well. I think the idea here is that we have a world-class riverfront, and we know it, and the city is doing everything it can to make sure that it not just stays that way, but will continue to be that in the future. So thanks for the opportunity to get some good information out there.
Thank you for your time, your work, and your way, gentlemen. And I appreciate you being with us today. And I know the audience does as well. I'm telling you, folks, when this thing is done, it's going to be a ring-ding good time. I'm really, really excited about it. There's lots of details online if you want to go and look at schematics and vision boards and all the different kind of thing. Go look up Riverfront for All New Orleans. I'm Ian Hoken for Scoot. Be right back after this. When we come back after the 2 o'clock news, we'll do a news bomb and get caught up on President Trump's trip to Scotland, what's happening in Ukraine, what's happening in Gaza, and a little bit more of what's happening in domestic politics. At 2:25, we're going to talk to David Schloss about the missing 3 minutes from the Jeffrey Epstein prison cell tape. Where did it go? And who's got it? I'm Ian Hoken for Scoot. Stick around. Lots more to come on WWL.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.